Good morning and welcome to Pathways. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Every Sunday morning at this time, we invite you to join us for a visit with leaders in personal and cultural transformation. Today on Pathways, we are visiting with Christina Katz, the author of the new book, Writer Mama: How to Raise a Writing Career Alongside Your Kids. Christina balances writing with motherhood in the suburbs of Portland. She has written over 200 articles for magazines, newspapers, and online publications, and has appeared on Good Morning America. Christina is editor and publisher of the online zines Writer on the Rise and The Writer Mama. She teaches and speaks at bookstores, MFA programs, writing associations, and writing conferences around the country. Good morning, Christina, and welcome to Pathways.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start out with the obvious general question. What is your new book, Writer Mama, all about?
Writer Mama is a how-to book for moms who are interested not just in writing, but in writing for publication. A lot of women, once they get married, or even if they're not married and have kids, they're looking for ways to bring in additional income. And there isn't a phenomenal amount of moms out there who want to write, who are already fairly talented writers, who are just looking for tips on how to translate that into publication so they can bring a little money home and help support their families.
Is it realistic, though, to think of writing as a way to make money?
It is realistic if you're patient. If you can be patient and work at it steadily, for example, I've been working as a writer for 7 years, and I started out part-time, and now I work full-time. And also, while I've continued to write that whole time, I also now do other things like teaching and speaking. So I've created multiple income streams. And other moms can, there's so many ways to do that today that it is actually more feasible than ever, I think.
Mm-hmm. And how does a person know if they're good enough to possibly make money as a writer?
You know, it's interesting. I must be very spoiled because my students give me such a high quality of writing that when I hear editors complaining about the quality of writing they receive, I don't know what they're talking about. There are so many college-educated moms out there, and even if they're not college-educated, people are excellent communicators today, and the internet community adds to that. Blogging is very popular. All of these things have made us very skilled communicators. So it isn't really a lack of talent, but more a need to learn how to navigate in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's got to be tough. I mean, with something like over 80,000 books are being published a year now, it must be, you know, daunting.
Yeah, the transition from freelance writer to author has been a big stretch for me. It's there's just the learning curve goes straight up. And there is a lot of competition for new books. For example, the day that Writer Mama came out in March, there was probably 400 other books that came out that day. And that's just in the U.S. So we're talking a lot of competition. I really encourage my students and the writers that I know that I meet when I'm presenting to find their strengths and emphasize them. And I think if you're doing what you love and expressing what you love, the competition exists, but you're not focusing on it.
You know, this baby boomer generation, I was just talking with my girlfriend about this earlier today, how everybody wants to write a book, or so many people want to write a book. And I think there must be, you know, an incredible opportunity if one were to invest in vanity presses. What do you think about self-publishing as opposed to finding a publisher?
That's a really good question. Since I have the power of a small publisher behind me, but even though it's a small publisher, they've invested an awful lot of energy and publicity behind Writer Mama, I can only imagine how difficult it would be for someone trying to do it completely on their own. Mm-hmm. I think that the smart thing to do would be to invest quite a bit of your own money in the process, almost like starting a business, in the sense that if you just try to do it without a little nest egg or something aside, I think you would be sorely disappointed in what you could accomplish just by yourself, because it's really all about building allies partnering up with other professionals to increase your impact, because as we were just saying, the competition is so stiff. I think there's probably a lot of heartbroken writers out there who might have swallowed the sales pitch. Oh, well, why should I go traditionally published if I can do it myself? So they invest the money, but they don't necessarily solicit the partnerships. And then the book comes out and this, it's just very, very competitive. So I would do a lot of homework before I would go self-published. However, having said that, the opportunities for immediate profit on your book are greater.
And the opportunity for being paid at all. I mean, distributors are notorious for paying 180 days later or going out of business and not paying at all. I mean, it's a very low margin business, all of these middlemen in the publishing distribution of books.
That's true. It really does help if you're a writer, an author, to have the multiple income streams that I mentioned, to do many different things, to be writing articles and a book, to be speaking and teaching, to be mixing things up so that, or if you do concentrate in one area, say writing, and that's all you do, to you know, to have some longer term projects alongside shorter term projects to keep the money flowing.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking to women who, to whom the idea might not yet have occurred that they can write for publication and actually make some money at it. What motivated you to write Writer Mama?
Well, like I said, I've been. Natalie Goldberg talks about the great determination that in her books, she speaks of the great determinations that writers need to have to persevere and achieve publication. I think there are probably more people out there than you might expect who already have a burning desire to write. So there isn't, it isn't that there's a lack of people who want to write, it's that there's a lack of information about how to get published, how to make some money. And also what I cover in Writer Mama that I think maybe is rare in a book is how to do that with integrity, how to keep it as part of your dream at the same time that you are seeking publication. Not, you don't need to sell your soul, is something that I stress in Writer Mama. But like I said, you have to be patient and you have to know yourself and you have to stay with it.
So those are the great determinations.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have that great determination, because I think if you don't, this is probably not the field for you.
Mm-hmm. And do you specialize in helping people who write fiction or nonfiction?
I specialize in nonfiction, but I mm-hmm. do work with people who write fiction, and I am trained as a fiction writer to write nonfiction alongside the other things they write to bring in that additional income. Because fiction writers, for example, novelists, will sometimes write 7 novels before getting one accepted for publication.
Wow.
So yeah, this takes patience. That fiction and some of the other genres can take even more.
Right, right. I would imagine it's very few fiction writers that actually can make a living at it until much later in their life.
Absolutely. I can't even think of any that I personally know.
I'm personally fascinated with the whole topic of fiction writing. Not that I've ever done it, but it occurs to me that you got to have a good story to begin with. Is that the place to start if you want to write a fiction?
I think dramatic tension and a conflict is what really drives a fiction story forward. Mm-hmm. I was just at Willamette Writers this week, and I can't think of the name of the author who was presenting, but she mentioned that often an author will know what the climax is going to be, and they're writing their way towards the climax. Mm-hmm. And I think that is often the case with fiction. I think it's a bit of a mistake to begin writing if you don't have any dramatic
tension. You don't have
tension.
A climax
just,
in mind.
And you're just kind of writing yourself in circles and not really getting anywhere. It's not good for the reader, certainly.
Too much foreplay.
Exactly. Yeah. It, more so writers, nonfiction and fiction writers, have trouble just get to it. Just go for it.
I just am fascinated by that whole art of story writing. You know, we've had people on this show who've written books that were not very well written, but the story was incredible. Mm. and just had the sense this is going to make a great movie. The Celestine Prophecy jumps to mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, not great literature, mm-hmm. but really an interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that there's like this set of skills that are complementary but might not all be contained in the same person.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can imagine somebody coming up with a story concept, a climax, and the kind of the situation that leads up to it, but not really being able to write to that or not being good with characters or something.
And conversely, there are so many extremely talented writers who cannot get a break today. I know many very, very talented fiction writers, and you read their work and you say, well, this is, you know, classic literature, but they can't get published.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much ways.
Yeah, there's just too much competition. How did you get your start as a writer?
I finished my fiction program and basically decided then and there that I needed to switch to nonfiction because I had spent 3 years, this is Columbia College Chicago, I had spent three blissful years just writing and writing and writing, really without very much thought for publication. And along the way, I was selected by the faculty to do a journalism piece for the journalism department magazine at the college. And as a part of the assignment, I interviewed three major architects in Chicago at that time. One of them has now passed away, Bertrand Goldberg, who did Marina Towers. And it was such a fabulous interpersonal experience as well as a writing challenge. And there was so many elements of storytelling that kind of profiling. A lot of fiction writers are already very talented profilers because they are complementary skills. So I got hooked on seeing my words get into publication, you know, pretty quickly after I wrote them. And I said, maybe I really need to switch to nonfiction. So I've done quite a few profiles since then mm-hmm. as part of my freelance journey.
And so give us the kind of the background of the intersection between your career as a writer and your career as a mom. How did that happen?
Well, it's funny. Back to the great determination, I had it already before my daughter was born 5 years ago, but something happened when she was born. I still felt somewhat unsatisfied with how quickly things were moving for me with my writing career, but there was something about having that pair of eyes looking up at me that just increased my determination one more time, and I said, you know, I'm not giving this up. I'm not going to say, oh, well, I'm a mom now. Time to put aside those creative dreams and go get a job. I went the other way. And I said, you know what? I want my daughter to be able to look up to me and say, my mom's a writer, you know, and that's just who she is. And that's how I felt. So that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. And how did you structure the book Writer Mama, your new book? How did you structure that to suit your audience?
I took all my frustrations and then I interviewed, I really studied kind of almost in the way of the 7 habits of highly effective people. I really wanted to get a sense of not just what didn't work, but what works for moms who write. So I really studied my mentors and then I also polled professional writing moms and did interviews and really tried to get my finger on how do they do it, because I realized pretty quickly that it wasn't going to be the moms who weren't successful that were going to give me the keys. I had my own experiences, but I needed more examples. So I went out and got them, and it may almost be a little bit like a sociological study in that regard, but I think what it does is it's not just a how-to, but it also is just chock full of tips from various points of view to help writer mamas take those baby steps and establish that career just a little bit at a time, one day at a time.
I want to talk about some of those tips in a second, but first I wonder about your opinion about whether there's any advantage for a writer to also be a mother.
You know, I recently had someone review Writer Mama, and say basically that they thought it was great that I broke writing for publication down into these steps, but they weren't sure they were small enough steps that a mom could handle. And I thought, well, she's not a mom. Moms really who want to write, moms have to get so many things done in a day. You just get stuff done. And if you really want to write, you can take these small suggestions and apply them and make the steady progress that adds up over time.
Now, what would be your top three tips for moms who want to write?
My number one tip is find mentors. Those can be either mentors that you actually talk to, or they can be kind of like you read their websites or their blogs regularly, kind of just study everything that they've put out there. Definitely connecting with other moms can help, other moms who want to write, because then you won't feel as isolated. You can share what you learn as you go. And you can just generally, feel less alone in the process, because let's face it, most writers work alone. And then I think classes are another, because of the internet, you can take a very specific class instead of the old days where you had to go to college and you had to get this whole degree. Today, you can say, well, I really want to write book reviews, or I really want to write feature profiles, or you can be very specific about what you want to do, and then you can go find a class just on that, take it very inexpensively in a short period of time, and apply what you learn. If you don't apply what you learn as you go, you lose it. So it's learn, apply, learn, apply, learn, apply. And that's what's worked for me.
Now, you talk in the book about special challenges for actively parenting mothers when it comes to writing. Some of them are obvious, but would you mind laying out a couple of those?
Some of the challenges?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are the special challenges that you as a mother have?
For example, in order to get to this interview, I had to fly across town, pick up my daughter, take her to preschool, decide whether or not I had enough time to run back home to take the puppies out before I drove to the city. You're not just thinking about yourself. It's not just, oh, I've gone to work for the day, honey, I'll be home at 6. It's, okay, I have to accomplish everything I need to accomplish for work. And I am also taking into account the needs and responsibilities of everybody in my family and then facilitating those. So
how do you do that? I mean, with in an interrupt-driven existence, such as is the fate of mothers, how do you plan, or what kind of discipline do you use to get anything done on the writing front?
Well, it's important to realize that, if you have an infant or a newborn, your time that you have to write is going to be pretty small. But I just want to say, so that moms know, as your child grows and goes out into the world and goes to school and has play dates and things, so does your time to write. So I think for anybody picking up writer mama right after they've had a baby, they might think, well, this is all great, but, I'm not going to be able to do this today. But over time, if you stay with it, those chunks of time grow and grow to the point where I'm working in a 2 or 3 hour chunk in the morning, and then I'm running around a little bit, and then I'm working in another 2 to 3 hour chunk, and then I'm negotiating with my daughter a little bit of her playtime for a little bit of writing time, and I'm deciding whether or not the kitchen really needs to get cleaned right now, or can it wait a half an hour, so I can finish reviewing some student papers, things like that. It's just constant negotiating, juggling, prioritizing. I think that's a skill that mothers have. And you just throw it into the mix.
Mm-hmm. In your book, and we're talking about your latest book, Writer Mama, you teach the reader how to reach short-term goals quickly while strategically thinking about the long term at the same time. Can you speak to that?
Mm-hmm. As a writing instructor, I've seen a lot of writers get frustrated. I think these were probably people who did well in school and got a lot of kudos for their writing skills, a lot of praise, maybe good grades. But unfortunately, when we're talking about writing for publication, if your first goal is to publish a 3,000-word piece, well, if that's your very first piece for publication, you might actually want to go for a 300-word piece. So after teaching for several years, I said, why aren't these students who write well getting these pieces published that I can, you know, that are technically very well written? And what I realized is they're setting the bar too high. So also, when you have that more immediate gratification of getting something small published more quickly, that just keeps you going. So now I've switched everything about the way I teach to that that short-term gratification. Go for the easy successes and then build on them.
Uh-huh.
And as a result, I see more of my students succeeding in the long run and then just increasing the size of their goals as they go.
Now, how do you recommend that new writers find their ideas?
Oh, I take writers through a process in the first week of classes that I teach, that where we really dive into who they are and what their interests are, what their frustrations are, what kind of expertise they may have accumulated so far in their life. And from that one worksheet, in fact, I should post that worksheet on my website so everyone can use it. From that one worksheet, that could give you enough ideas for a year,
mm-hmm.
easily. And then a lot of moms, especially moms who write for parenting publications or write books about parenting, it all starts from their everyday experience. There's something with their children. Maybe their child it has been diagnosed with autism, and they're dealing with their frustrations on that. So they decide to start writing about it, and they help others in that way, and it feeds them, and they don't feel as alone. And so, it's not just about money. There's lots of sources for satisfaction with writing. There's the satisfaction of the writing itself. When you add in the challenge of parenthood, I think it's an even sweeter satisfaction.
Now, what was your writing process like when you wrote Writer Mama?
That's funny. It was like a marathon. I spent about 14 months, because it was my first book, I really wanted to do a very good job. I wanted to feel like this was going to be a book that I could be behind for a long time. And since I am a writing instructor, it is, and I'm sure it will be. Some have commented that it's not just for moms. There's insights and ideas in here that would work for any writer. And I think that was conscious on my part to put that in there. But it's also chock full of tips for moms specifically. And dads can use them too. But I'm a fiction writer at heart. So I didn't write it in a linear way. I didn't outline. I tried to stay with the emotion and the needs of the reader. And I wrote, and so much of it didn't make the final cut and isn't in this tidy little book. And thank goodness for great editors who could help, get me, keep me focused and help me structure the book, because that made all the difference.
That's one of the challenges of writing is being ruthless enough with one's own material, don't you think?
You either have to be good at it yourself, like you have to be ruthless with yourself, or you have to associate with people who will be ruthless for
right,
you.
Right, right. That's the good editor that you're talking about. Now, you said in this particular book that you didn't take a linear approach, but it occurs to me that outlining and a linear approach like that probably would go along with nonfiction. Is that a fair assumption?
Many nonfiction writers do write that way. I don't know if it's a left brain, right brain thing. I would say that I lean more towards the right brain. It's almost like I can't make my process work that way.
Mm-hmm.
This resistance is so strong. I also am very easily bored. I have a short attention span. I think a lot of moms, especially after they have, a lot of women after they have kids, feel that your attention span just shrinks up like a puddle in the sun. And I don't like to be bored when I read. So I feel like the extra effort I put into writing nonfiction by not doing it in a straightforward manner pays off for the reader in a more interesting read and ideas that may not be as straightforward.
And so now how do you write longhand, or do you use a word processor, or do you use a dictaphone or some combination of those?
I used to be very artist way about my approach. So Julie Cameron book, I'd write morning pages every day, and so many of my ideas would come up then, and then I'd take them to the computer. But because I was under the deadline for Writer Mama, I think I felt increased pressure, which drove me to the computer faster. So I was cranking out pieces almost in, that I brought together almost in like a collage style, a collaging kind of style, where I had a variety of different short pieces that I then ended up weaving together into a more structured piece. And then at some point in the process, like for a fiction writer, the structure was there. There's four phases, and they go along with the four possible phases of a writing career, from mm-hmm. start mm-hmm. to book proposal.
Mm-hmm. Now, besides this book, that your new book, Writer Mama, which obviously is for aspiring writers who are moms, what else do you do currently to help aspiring writers? You mentioned teaching. Can you share that with us?
Well, one of the most exciting things that's happened since Writer Mama came out is I'll be traveling to New York City for Book Expo America to sign copies of Writer Mama and also participate in the Writer's Digest Book Expo Writers Conference. There really is a writer's renaissance. There's a writer renaissance going on right now, and I see it not just in writing, but in all of the arts. There's more art schools than there's ever been. And so there's a lot of writers out there, and there's a lot of writer conferences and writing events. And there's just, if you're a writer, there's nothing more fun than being surrounded by your fellow writers. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that writers 100 years ago had that luxury. It feels very luxurious to me and very pleasurable to be able to participate in events like that. So I do that as much as I can, as much as is reasonable for someone who has a family. And in fact, tomorrow I'll be driving up to Washington to speak at Third Place Books in Lake Forest near Seattle. And I thought, it just occurred to me today, well, maybe I'll bring my daughter. I brought my daughter to be on Good Morning America with me, and I've been enjoying not bringing my daughter to some events, but all of a sudden I thought, well, maybe it would be fun this time to bring my daughter. So there's conferences, there's Wordstock here in Portland, which is a wonderful event for readers and writers. Mm-hmm. There's so many bookstores have events, and online there are all kinds of websites. So,
and you have a website, right?
I have a website, writersontherise.com. I also have thewritermama.com. And there's a blog attached to both of those sites. And there's a community around both of those sites. And I just, you know, it's just a great time to be a writer today.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being on the show. I wish we had more time, but it's been fascinating talking to you about your new book, Writer Mama. And for those people who may have tuned in late, we're talking with Christina Katz, the author of the new book, Writer Mama, a writing teacher with the website thewritermama.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paul.
And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to Pathways this Sunday morning, and hopefully every Sunday at this time, when either Tom Park or myself invite you to join us for a visit with selected leaders in personal and cultural transformation. Pathways is sponsored by KBOO members, and also in part by Tarot.com. Providers of do-it-yourself astrology, tarot, I Ching, and numerology on the internet at tarot.com. That's tarot.com. On behalf of the Pathways program and KBOO Radio 90.7 FM, this is Paul O'Brien signing off.